Hello and welcome to the Digital Researcher 2012 online podcast. On the 20th of February 2012, working in partnership with the British Library, VTI delivered its third UK and worldwide Twitter trending Digital Researcher event. For all those who would like a recap of the day, or for those who could not make it to the event, the VTI Digital Researcher team will be providing a snapshot into the day, starting with key objectives for running the event and an overview of the current digital landscape for researchers. Following this introduction will be an overview to the plenary presentations, covering intellectual property and the role of social media in academic practice, interactive workshops delivered throughout the day, and highlights from our keynote presentation named 10 Digital Scholarship Lessons in 10 Videos, delivered by Martin Weller, Professor of Educational Technology at the Open University and author of The Digital Scholar. Complementing this content, John Igo, VTI's web manager and facilitator for our Digital Researcher online element to the program, will provide a sneak preview as to what was available online on the day for our virtual participants, the objectives for doing this, and a summary of all the online activity that was stimulated on the day. To cap off the podcast, Dr. Tristram Hooley, director of the event, will give his prediction on what the future will hold for our digital landscape over the next year, and I will be providing some links to some useful resources for you. Dr. Tristram Hooley will now provide an overview of the key aims and objectives of Digital Researcher 2012, highlighting how the program has changed since 2011 and how the digital landscape has changed over the past year.
Digital Researcher is an opportunity for researchers to think about how social media and other digital technologies might help them in their practice as researchers. And really what we're trying to do through the day is just to give them an opportunity to experiment and try that out a bit more. This is now the third year that we've been running Digital Researcher events, and I think we've seen quite a lot of change in that time. I mean, the tools are constantly changing, so different bits of software are available now that weren't available then. But actually, I think the main change is we are seeing gradually researchers becoming more and more engaged with this. And even if they're not using digital technologies themselves and aware that they are useful, and they're aware that other of their colleagues are using them. So I think the biggest change for me has been a kind of growing acceptance of these tools, and it's moved away from being just something that's really for kind of geeky oddballs on the periphery to something that's becoming much, much more mainstream in research now.
As presented in the first of two plenary presentations, Tristram will now provide an overview of the role of social media in academic practice and the area of intellectual property within research, supported with some crucial hints and tips to consider.
I think what we've been trying to do in the plenary presentations is really set out the scope of the day. And so the argument that I was trying to make in the presentation that I gave was that social media is really changing the world quite a lot, and it's also going to inevitably therefore change the way that universities work and the way that research practice works. And what we then tried to do is to delve into researchers' practice, and we identified kind of four main themes where we think that social media is likely to be important in how researchers go about their practice. And so they were the areas of identifying knowledge, how do you find out what's already known, creating knowledge, so how do you do research, quality assuring knowledge, so how do you decide what's good and bad in terms of research, and then finally the idea of disseminating knowledge and disseminating it to a wider audience. So they were the four themes that we really tried to focus in, and that's where the way we've structured the day is around those four themes. I think the main piece of advice that I give to researchers who are interested in social media and think that it's probably got some sort of relevance for their practice, but they're not perhaps sure exactly what it is. I think the thing is to be willing to experiment and to try stuff out and not necessarily to know exactly where it leads you. Having said that, I think you've also got to be aware of how you're perceived and be aware that stuff you do on social media is being broadcast to the world potentially, and in many cases will remain there for many years. And so you've got to be aware of that, but I think you shouldn't allow that to stop you being willing to try stuff out and take some risks. But I think the second thing that I think is important in terms of experimenting with social media is to remember that it's not really about tools, it's not really an IT question, it's really about people and about how you connect to people and make meaningful connections with them. And so the important thing to think about is your network rather than exactly which tool you use to communicate with them.
After our participants had sat patiently through our first plenary, it was time to get practical. On the day, participants had a choice of four interactive workshops to attend, centered on identifying knowledge, creating knowledge, quality assuring knowledge, and disseminating knowledge. Before the event, participants were sent teaser trailers to provide an idea of what to expect of each of the workshops, so they could choose their favorite at registration on the day to attend. Here is a snippet of what each workshop entailed, provided by each one of the facilitators who delivered them on the day. Emma Gillespie will now provide insight into her workshop, Identifying Knowledge.
Okay, so I talked about the identification of knowledge. My key messages really for the sessions that we did was not being overwhelmed by the amount of information out there. There is a lot out there, but try to feel comfortable with not being aware or reading absolutely everything. Try and develop a strategy for finding information that fits with how you like to do things now, so don't change your natural preferences. Build a network to help you find and filter information for you, and give a little bit of yourself to the network to help nurture and sustain it. You can use tools to organise and manage your information in networks, but don't get bogged down in learning absolutely every new tool that comes on the market. And don't forget to collaborate. That's the key to identifying knowledge.
Alan Cam will now give you an overview into his workshop, Quality Assuring Knowledge.
As we discussed in the workshop, the whole concept of quality assuring knowledge is a very difficult one. It's really quite subjective rather than objective, although many objective measures have been put in place to try to do it, to justify research spending, for example, and a great deal of money has been spent on that, and that, of course, is a highly controversial thing to do. As I said in the workshop at the meeting, I'm not suggesting that individual researchers should stop using traditional channels such as publication in peer-reviewed journals, because I think for most people, and certainly for people at the early stages of research careers, that would be an incredibly dangerous thing to do. But there are alternative ways of looking at this business of quality these days. And what we tried to explore in the workshop were concepts of building a peer network which would filter and supply high quality material to you, which is also highly relevant to your needs as a researcher. And by the same token, of course, although we were talking about quality assuring knowledge rather than disseminating your research, that same network is a two-way process and will do the same thing and will put your research out in front of a large audience with, presumably, their stamp of approval if they feel that what you are doing is of high quality. So quality assurance is very difficult. I don't think we came up with the definitive answer in the workshop at the Digital Researcher, because I don't believe there is a definitive answer to the question of what is quality and how do we measure it. But I hope that we gave people quite a lot to think about and hopefully some tools to take away and experiment with.
Nora McGregor will now give you an insight into her workshop, Creating Knowledge.
The Vitae Digital Researcher 2012 workshop explores how digital social media-based tools and applications can help support the work of researchers. While we may be using some of these tools quite regularly in our personal lives, the benefits can actually be extended to our professional and academic lives. In my session in particular, we center around the creating knowledge stage of the research cycle. That's the point at which we're taking all of the information we've been identifying and start to create some meaning from it. So the main activities here are actually centering around analysis, sifting through all that information, taking notes, and we might start drafting at this stage. So working collaboratively with other researchers and needing to share a text. We're also going to be reflecting on what we're writing. We're seeking feedback from others, trying to get new collaborations and benefit from the experience of others and draw the expertise into what we're producing. There are a lot of tools out there that can help with this part of the process. One tool in particular is a citation tool called Mendeley, which gives researchers a place to organize not only their papers, but their thoughts too, providing annotating and highlighting features all in one place. The benefits of something like Mendeley is that you don't have to worry about losing your PhD because it's stuck on your laptop and your hard drive has failed. Mendeley lets you store all of your papers in the cloud, so you can collaborate with other people, you can let them see what you're reading, and you can work on annotating and highlighting the same documents without emailing them back and forth. And it helps to do your citations for you. So, a very helpful tool. And there are numerous tools. I think one of the most important things to take away from the day is that there is no one-size-fits-all prescription for digital research tools. Each individual researcher or group will ultimately develop their own unique suite, which fits the way they work. This day is about highlighting some tools so that you can start to build your personal toolkit.
And finally, Christina Costa will now provide an insight into her workshop, Disseminating Knowledge.
As part of the workshop, the first thing that we looked at was how these technologies enables us to do things differently. As part of that, we looked at technology from two different perspectives. One is the technologies that we use to connect to our own peer communities, so the spaces where we can get that kind of peer networking going and that enhances our own knowledge. And there was then the other component was looking at the spaces where the communities that we work with or that our research will potentially affect are, because then we need to reach those two types of audience. So once we establish that, then we can decide what kind of tools we need to use for which purpose we want to achieve. During the workshop, we looked at concerns and hopes when using social media for research. One of the main concerns that heard several times throughout the day had to do with the way people communicate online and create an image of themselves. And for that, I do have two top tips. One is don't share anything that you're not proud of just because it's funny. So my advice is if your Nana does not approve of it, do not share it. And the other thing is, be yourself and be nice. And just think, when you're contributing to a discussion or you're were participating in an online environment, think of what you would say if you're looking at that person in the eye. Don't let the screen be a shield that will put you in a worse position in terms of how people regard you based on the comments that you make. So even if it's a very contentious discussion and you have a very strong opinion about something, try to provide your opinion in a nice way. So those are the two top tips.
I were pleased to announce Professor Martin Weller to the Digital Researcher 2012 team. Martin's recent book, The Digital Scholar, his substantial experience in the area of digital literacy and academic practice, and digital innovations through his full-time position at Open University, made him the perfect keynote speaker for this year's event.
My talk's called 10 Digital Scholarship Lessons in 10 Videos. So I've got a little video accompanying each one. I won't go through all 10 lessons, but it's kind of sort of trying to pull together some of the discussions that have come around today. And it draws on my book, The Digital Scholar, so trying to sort of cram that into a 40-minute talk. And if I was to pick out some of the key lessons, I think, from that I think are important to take away. The first one is it's not just for geeks. You know, I spend a lot of my time with developers and geeks and stuff, and they're wonderful people. But often you kind of get bogged down talking about specific technologies and code and those kind of things. And I think it's easy to forget then that what you're actually talking about are quite fundamental scholarly practices. And so don't think this isn't for me because I don't talk about those geeks talks. Actually, it is about really fundamental things we do as scholars and academics. So that's a key point. Another key point, I think, would be we've got a kind of opportunity now to rethink research. And the example I give there is that we've kind of got caught in a model of we think research is applying for funding, doing the research, and then publishing in journal articles. That's the kind of the process we go through. And that works for lots of things. You know, you can't build a Large Hadron Collider yourself. But there's also lots of stuff we can do ourselves. And for instance, the other day I set up my own meta journal by just using Google's and Otum and finding open access articles and then putting those together to create my own kind of journal. It's something you can do in an afternoon. Or my colleague Tony Hurst often plays around with data, looking at how people are connected online and things. So there's lots of things you can do almost without any funding and just to kind of get going and experiment things. So I think we haven't begun to explore what the new possibilities are of open data and networks and things for our research. And that applies across all domains, I think. And the last one, I think, and this has come up in the discussions I've been having today with people, is don't focus just on risk. I think too often we tend to see the negatives or potential negatives of things. So people worry about if they give away information online, then will someone pinch their idea and go off somewhere else? And I think we kind of see that risk, but we don't see the potential benefits, such as that, you know, other people might connect with you and want to do research with you and collaborate with you and things. And there's a good reason for that. Psychologists say that we tend to weigh risk more heavily than we do gain. So we tend to see risk more coherently than we do our potential gain. So yeah, my last tip would be just don't focus on the risks, try and focus on some of the positives as well.
2012 was the year for encouraging further virtual participation of digital researcher. To help support this, Vitae's very own web manager, John Igo, facilitated our online program, of which offered streaming of plenary presentations, live interviews throughout the day, and lots of Twitter engagement online.
We've run the Digital Researcher event for the last 3 years. For the past 2 years, we've run an online aspect to the event. Last year, we had a very basic online audio stream, which enabled us to bring the main sessions to an online audience, listening in from wherever they were. But none of that was facilitated by somebody from Vitae. This year things changed, and we put in place more substantial streaming service, better quality audio. We ran some live interviews prior to sessions, and we also facilitated the online programme. So I was online for the majority of the day, supporting discussion, engaging people, and just checking things were okay for those people who were experiencing the event online. We wanted to provide a method for enabling access to people who couldn't make the event due to the high number of registrations we had for Digital Researcher this year. Through online discussions, we were able to deliver experiential elements of the event, enable participants, both those who were at the British Library on the day and also those online who were participating through the virtual aspects of the event, to interact with each other, bringing the physical and virtual together using social media. And through doing that, we hoped that people would be able to start seeing the relevance of using social media in a professional context, and also given the opportunity, if it's their first time or even if they're experienced users, to start building quality social networks, people of like-mindedness, people of similar interests, so they have support in the future moving forward from the event back within their institutions, within their research, within whatever activities that they're doing. And finally, it was also a method of the Vitae team disseminating information to event participants, so we could provide updates, we could provide logistical information about the event, for example, the workshop starting in 5 minutes in this room or that room. So that's quite useful for us, and all in all, we couldn't really have done a lot of the event without an online aspect, and it enabled us to reach a wider audience, both within the UK and also internationally. The online aspects of the event, firstly, we kind of launched our online programme. And as a result of that, we had over 1,000 page views to our online Digital Researcher page on the Vitae website. Following the launch, Twitter discussions started to build momentum. And by the time the event occurred on the 20th of February, those discussions were extremely active. I hosted some live interviewing prior to the plenary session on the day to give our online audience an overview of what to expect, to introduce the concept of being a digital researcher, and that was listened to by around about 100 people. By the time the plenary session was live streamed, over 150 people were listening in, both from the UK and internationally. Twitter discussions alongside this increased massively. They trended in the UK and also worldwide, which was quite an exciting experience. A lot of the online participants continued to use Twitter throughout the day, along with those who were attending at the British Library. So that experience between those who were attending online and those who were attending at the British Library was a really interesting mix. It's great to see everyone sharing information openly, and there's a real buzz throughout the day online. Whilst it was possible to bring audio feed to this year's event, we'll be considering how in the future we can further enrich VTI event experience, not just digital researcher, though digital researcher is at the forefront of this, but also with some of our other events such as Leadership in Action. There's always new technology becoming available. We've done audio streaming, it might be that we look at video streaming in the future. Over the coming weeks I'll be conducting a more in-depth analysis to look at the online experience of the day. Hopefully that will mimic what's already been said online. People saw it as an enriching experience and it really brought a different aspect to the day that has a positive effect really, both on those who attended at the British Library, who were able to see social networks, real-time experience and hands-on, and those attending online for Digital Researcher, because what they experienced was something quite different. They were able to consume the information and also to interact with people at the event.
We are now drawing to the close of the Digital Researcher 2012 online podcast. However, before we go, Tristram Hooley will present his thoughts on how digital technology will evolve and change in the next year.
I mean, I think one thing we can be sure about is that there's going to be lots of new tools out there, hundreds of new things invented every day that could possibly maybe have a value for people. But to me, that's not the biggest change. I think the biggest change is for people to start thinking about how they do research and to thinking about whether they want to do it differently. And some of that, as we've been discussing today at the event, really, some of that is about individually us making a change and making a choice to try something new out and to work in a slightly different way. But I think for some of us, actually, it's also about a kind of campaigning or a changing the systems kind of role, in that, you know, the way in which some of the activity that we've been talking about today, which we, I think, can see lots of value in, activity that reaches out beyond universities and beyond the academy to the world outside, how does that get valued in the ways in which academics' contracts are negotiated, in the ways in which promotions are awarded, and in sort of infrastructure, things like the Research Excellence Framework? And so I think there's probably, we're going to see some kind of campaigning and rethinking of some of those things as well.
Well, that brings us to the close of the podcast, and we hope you found the content insightful. For further Digital Researcher resources developed, please visit www.vti.ac.uk/digitalresearcher. From me and the Digital Researcher team, thank you for tuning in.